a system takes care of is confirmation bias. We've always done it this way. That's a confirmation bias. This is how the industry works. We don't hire people from outside the industry. They don't know what we do. Thank goodness, because they could bring. So we're going to plant new things. We're going to think differently. So we're going to have self-directed teams who, based on where they are in the business with the knowledge of their markets, are going to be much more directed to bring in the results.
Welcome to the Manage Self, Lead Others Leadership Podcast with Nina Sunday for experienced and aspiring people managers. This show will help you explore ways to become a more intentional leader. Each episode, host Nina Sunday speaks with some of the brightest business minds on the planet who share a passion to elevate and transform team culture. Workplace culture hides in plain sight. Is yours flourishing? Join the movement to make your workplace a better place to work. Are you ready? Because it's time to manage self, lead others.
Welcome to my next conversation with thought leader and visionary Dan Silberberg. With a master's degree in leadership and coaching, Dan Silberberg has a storied career as a Fortune 250 CEO leader and business consultant in McKinsey methodologies. Having launched four startups, Dan is an expert in driving exponential financial growth and performance. This conversation with Dan Silberberg refers to the VUCA acronym. The world is changing rapidly, and you could find using 20th century models in the 21st century are becoming obsolete or even extinct. It is my privilege to welcome now Dan Silberberg.
All right. Hey, Nina, it's great to be with you. So today we've done quite a few of these podcasts around being a leader. And what I've done now is I've put together how I see the 21st century and why 20th century traditional leader development, the time has passed for that.
It's actually passé.
Right? So just to remind everybody, my company is called IntelliKey. And IntelliKey, your IntelliKey is your genius. Amplifying your IntelliKey into the world is mine.
Right.
So when I say your genius, all of us have a genius, an artist, and we're gifted. And that's what we're here to put into the world. But we do a lot of things in our culture to bleed it out so that you can be compliant and you can fit in and all of that. And so it actually takes courage to move to the next level. So you were talking about being in your garden. So if you could close your eyes and imagine the bud of a flower that's closed, and then could you imagine the most, it takes time. And over time, this little bud turns in and blossoms into the most beautiful flower that you've ever seen. And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom.
Yes, profound.
So as a leader, we want you to move from being in this tight, enclosed bud that meets other people's judgments, that meets other people's expectations, that tells you how to live a spectacular life. And we want you to blossom to be the architect of your own spectacular life.
Mm.
So we talk about leadership, which I don't want to talk about because I think it's more important to talk about who are you as a leader. And being a leader always exists in a context. So most of us think about leadership and being a leader in an enterprise, in a company, whether it's a smaller company, an SMB, or a large enterprise, or a multinational, right? Mm-hmm. So within that context, that's a very narrow piece of living your life as a leader. So when I talk about architecting a spectacular life, how do you lead with your partner, your spouse, your kids? Are you intimate? Are you deeply engaged? Are you vulnerable? Are you available? Or are you always somewhere else, not physically, but just mentally, do they go, Dad or Mom, we're talking here. I want you to have an impact where your kids go to school, where you practice your spirituality within your community. I want you to be powerful, influential, and impactful in the world. The genius, the gifts, and the artistry is what you're here to deliver. So you don't want to be on a deathbed on your final day with the regret of, I know what I was supposed to be doing and I didn't do it. So with that context in mind, let's talk about the difference between the 20th century leader and the 21st century.
Oh, lovely. I like this topic.
All right. So in the 20th century, basically what happened is Henry Ford in the United States came up with the Ford automobile.
1908, I was just reading this week. The first Model T Ford.
I had 1914, but I won't argue for 6 years. But it didn't start really getting commercialized till about 1927.
Right.
And out of that concept emerged an organizational way of organizing an organization called a hierarchy. And in a hierarchy, we have a CEO at the top, and then we have the C-suite, and then we might have executive vice presidents and directors, and we go down. And that's a part of hierarchy on the horizontal level. And then we do verticals. So we have the design department, we have the engineering department, we have the marketing department, and each one of those is a silo. And so how you make decisions, we make them in silos, then we're not thinking holistically. Okay?
Correct.
In a hierarchy, it's top down, command and control. So we're doing planning, we're doing organizing, we're doing directing, right? And reporting. And all of those are what I call administrative or management. That's not being a leader. So within that, when we looked at, so we moved from an agricultural revolution to an industrial revolution, and we moved into this assembly line manufacturing idea.
Yeah.
So what we did is we started to put our population into a public school system so that they could read enough and be kind of organized enough so that they could go to work.
And work on a conveyor belt.
So when you put a car together, this is a complicated process. So there's glass, there's metal, there's engines, carburetors, there's all, it's a very complicated process. Okay? So that's great. But we're now in the 21st century. Speed of change does not allow hierarchies to make good decisions on a timely basis with all of the information. So now we move from a complicated world into a world of complexity.
Right.
So it's complicated
cubed.
So now we move from what's the metric that we're always looking for is productivity. Okay. That's 20th century thinking.
Right.
In the 21st century, we'd still like to be productive. But the real competitive advantage is in intelligence.
Right.
All right. Now you're in the C-suite in the 20th century. And yes, there was the Vietnam War, but things for the most part were pretty stable. And so we could look at the world, we'd have a pretty good idea. There were some black swans, but for the most part, I would say it was fairly stable. We had our economic ups and downs. So where are we today? So when we look at today, the number one fear out there is disruption. But when we look at disruption, what does that really mean? As a CEO, I'm going to give you seven or eight areas of where disruption is occurring. every one of those areas would be a full-time job. Yes. So there is now geopolitical disruption. So for 75 years, the Western democracies were pretty aligned. Well, now we've got a whole new geographic and geopolitical alignment. Mm-hmm. So now we have Iran, Russia, North Korea, China, sometimes India, and all of a sudden Western Europe and the Western democracies are really kind of in a free fall to an extent. So as a CEO, if I'm looking at running a global business, I've got a lot more complexity to figure out global to local. Now there's economic dislocation. Our GDP in the US is doing quite well relative to everybody else, but across the globe, economic disparity is creating tensions and unrest.
Disparity so between rich and poor.
So now we've got geopolitical as a full-time job. Now we've got this economic issue, and people want unions, and people want wage increases, and people are demanding all kinds of things that historically the power has shifted.
The right to work from home.
Right? So we've got geopolitical and economic. Now we've got social issues. So just take a look at what's going on in Israel and Palestine and Gaza. And I don't care what side you're on. I'm saying as a C-suite leader, I've got five different generations. So I've got social issue there, and I've got geopolitical where people are taking sides, and I've got social dislocation. I have political dislocation and division. We talk about extremism. We talk about the alt-right. We talk about, you know, woke progressive. There's all these terms now where it used to be two-party system, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then we've got this institutional disruption. Then we have judicial disruption. Are we getting a fair judicial outcome, or are we playing in a world of judicial activism? Depending on how you see the world, you'll come up with a different interpretation. And then we've got this existential crisis people want to talk about called climate.
Yes.
Then you've got ESG and DEI and all these three-letter terms.
That's right.
And you're the CEO. Not one thing we just talked about is the product that you bring to market.
It's the bottom line.
Yeah. So here we've got this, if you could imagine a foundation of disruption, that's a full-time job. Yeah. Now let's take a look. And so what I did is I said, could you imagine a temple? And a temple would be like this, so it would have a roof to it. And then it would have, between the foundation and the roof, it would have these pillars, these vertical pillars. Hmm. So now another full-time job is global volatility. Another full-time job is global uncertainty. Another full-time job is global unpredictability. Mm-hmm. Another full-time job is unraveling complexity.
Yeah.
And then the last one, just in case you didn't have enough to deal with, is ambiguity.
Oh, yes.
So now I've got seven areas of disruption and five areas of these different attributes. And then, by the way, I'd like you, the leader, to be emotionally intelligent. I'd like you to be a lifelong learner. I want you to be a great leader. And you need to have critical thinking and analysis as part of who you are in leading others, because they really want to work for competent people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not
critical
done.
Thinking is a skill that most people don't think about cultivating. There's
right?
a big skills gap there.
Yeah.
They don't even think about the term, am I a critical thinker? How can I think about this critically?
Right. So now remember, we've got a foundation of disruption. Mm-hmm. We've got pillars of volatility, uncertainty, and unpredictability. We've got some things that you need to do in between the pillars. And oh, by the way, just in case that wasn't enough, right on top of all of that is the new world of technology. So,
oh, yes. And they're saying AI is going to be bigger than the car and the airplane being invented.
Well, so here's
Dead yet?
here's the deal. The 21st century is the technology, the speed of technological change is exceeding the ability of human beings to adapt by a factor of 10, at least.
Oh my goodness, the magnitude of 10. Oh.
So now you're leading an organization that has artificial intelligence, virtual reality, augmented reality, quantum computing, machine learning, data science, analytic, and cloud. I don't know how a CEO or a C-suite leader can be breathing, thinking they have to manage this top down.
They need a cabinet of advisors that they trust, who are experts, that we come together and share.
No.
No?
No. What they need is an ecosystem where they become facilitators. So the question, so now, you know how you talked about a garden?
Yes.
So a garden has soil, and it has all kinds of different diversity, and it all works in unison.
Yes.
So now, instead of your silos, if you move into an ecosystem circular environment,
right,
you start to build self-directed teams.
That's
in the
right.
20th in the 20th century, a good CEO could probably put their arms around a business, even a big one, 40 to 50%. In the 21st century, the best a CEO could hope for is being an iceberg. 10% is above the water that you know, and 90% is below that you don't know. So I don't know how you can solve problems direct and tell people top down what to do when you're only got 10% of the information.
Oh, yes.
So when I say now, what's your relationship to power? The biggest issue for C-suite executives is to go, that's not my criteria. My criteria is a new role. I'm now a catalyst. I'm now encouraging innovation. I'm now talking about calculated risk. I'm now mentoring. I'm now coaching. I'm now removing resistance.
Yes.
I'm doing a whole host of things that historically I wouldn't be doing because I now am the representative, so that we flatten out all these layers, which don't make decisions quickly in a world that requires intelligence. So this is the leader operating system that I'm talking about.
Yes.
So now when we talk about an enterprise, we're talking about a new cultural context.
Mm-hmm.
93% of CEOs have stated that they think they have the wrong business model and they know they're going to need to change within the next 36 months.
Oh, Lord.
The other statistic that ought to scare people is that the average length of stay in the C-suite today is 3 years.
It's overwhelming. The job is overwhelming. What?
Not only is the job overwhelming, but the business model and the ability to make good decisions timely, the business model is the biggest inhibitor. So guess what? They're not getting the results.
Right.
Therefore, it's time to find the next person. So if you're 35 years old, and your job is over at 38, you'll get another one and you'll be 41, but then it's a little lean and you might get another one to be 44. And what are you going to do between 44 and 80? So I want you to be a great leader who is going to be able to architect legacy, that you will be there, not because you're the smartest guy in the room, but because you know how to bring out the genius, the gift, and the artistry in the teams that you've hired.
And I appreciate you told me episodes ago, the leader's job is not to build capability, it's to build new leaders.
And hierarchies, thank you for remembering that, hierarchies don't, it's an anathema for a hierarchy to build good leaders. Why? So you want to be the chief marketing officer, and I want to be the chief marketing officer. Last time I looked at the hierarchy, there's only one square. Yeah. So what is my attention? My attention is to kill you and make sure that you look horrible so I can look wonderful so I get the promotion.
Oh, that's so 20th century, isn't it?
Well, look at the pyramid, right? And what everybody says is there's plenty of room down here, but as you go up, there's only one CEO, right? So it becomes a zero-sum game.
Right.
It becomes a toxic culture. It becomes highly political, right? There's a whole host of things.
And good
that
people
go
see it and they go, I want none of that, and they don't rise to the surface.
In an ecosystem, the results speak for themselves. And so what happens is title now is not the determinant. So you don't have all this infighting going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what exactly does an ecosystem look like, sound like?
Well, that's why you want to hire me, Nina. So basically what an ecosystem will do is if you figure the world is pure energy, we are pure energy. Energy doesn't work in hierarchy. It works in circular nature because it neither increases or decreases. It always is, right? So
is a spiral part of it too? The spiral? No,
well,
you don't like it's a circle.
Yeah, So now, what are one of the things that a hierarchy does that an ecosystem takes care of is confirmation bias. We've always done it this way. That's a confirmation bias. This is how the industry works. We don't hire people from outside the industry. They don't know what we do. Thank goodness, because they could bring. So we're going to plant new things. We're going to think differently. So we're going to have self-directed teams who, based on where they are in the business with the knowledge of their markets, are going to be much more directed to bring in the results. So now we have to move from we don't trust, so we have to tell you what to do, to we're now going to trust that you're going to make this thing grow and prosper. So an ecosystem, as you know, it has roses, it could have lilies, it could have dandelions, it could have grass, it has soil, right? It has all these different elements. It's the diversity of the system.
Yes.
That makes it work.
That's right.
So now when you're thinking about this, how are you, if you are in your old paradigm, this is going to be very difficult. So when people say it's really hard to change, right? Culture change is enormously difficult because unless the individual, see, if the individual changes, the culture automatically. If you try to change the culture without the individual, it doesn't go anywhere.
No.
Because
but,
they're
and
working.
You get some people that are more open to change in fact, thrive on it, and then others that are quite comfortable, thank you very much, and don't see the need to change.
It's not that they don't see the need to change. They have their paradigm. They have their mental map. They have how they make sense of the world. And you're asking them now to blow that security up and trust. Yeah, that's not a very good formula for success.
Yeah.
What is a good formula for success is having people see their own emerging moment by moment, becoming the next best version of themselves. And by doing that, the culture changes. You don't even have to worry about changing the culture. It changes because of the system. So in a system, in a hierarchy, there is a system. There's a way of doing things that are explicit. Everybody knows because they're stated like in the rule book and the HR book. But then there's the implicit, which is not really written down anywhere, but somehow you're supposed to know what all of that is, right? So that's a tough game to play. You'll make a mistake and somebody will go, we don't do that here. I didn't know that. Well, you were supposed to.
Yeah, you're supposed to pick it up by osmosis because it's not on the briefing or the orientation sheet. There are little steps that cultures can make that actually then blossom into this, like treating mistakes as learning opportunities and just this whole idea of bringing what like a 1% improvement, thinking about what's 1% improvement we can make. So marginal gains, that philosophy of marginal gains. So are those little ways that you can sort of bring in this? I mean, how does a CEO bring in this ecosystem step by step?
Well, they brought in a hierarchy and they just put it on a piece of paper. And they said, we're going to have these levels and this is how we're going to, it's a business model.
Oh,
so now okay. What we would do is we would create a new canvas. We'd start with a blank canvas and we would develop based on the business and the people and the industry and what are the values, what are the principles, what are the red lines, what are the things that are meaningful and purposeful to a workforce. So it is kind of a whole new sort of a thing.
Well, 25 years ago, there was that whole mission, vision statement thing that all companies did. And I'm not sure if that was the start of it or can we build upon that?
Well, that was an interesting thing. But if you go into most companies and you see that written on the wall, and then you ask people, do you live to what's written on the wall? Most of the time, no, we don't.
I don't even know where it is on their website.
Right. So that was a consultant's dream to make a lot of money. And, you know, who put those together? Was the lowest level at the organization included? Probably not. It was something that we want to be the best, blah, 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 blah. Well, everybody wants to be the best. So tell me something that's unique about you. And that's part of the brand. Right. So how do you make decisions is a big question that leads against all. So is it good to have a vision and mission? Absolutely. But it's only meaningful if it really is something that is authentic to the organization. So when you hire people, are your values, your principles, your strategies, your behaviors, do they align? When I was hiring people, I kind of gave them a pass on the functional part. I wanted to know who they were and was it a culture fit? So we hire you, we bring you in for your expertise, but we fire you for who you are.
Yeah, that's the old way of doing it. But if you want to find out what people are, is there like a values profile or set of questions you ask them or is it just have a coffee with them?
I'm intrusive, so I would say tell me three of your earliest experiences.
Right.
Tell me your birth order. Do you have sisters, brothers, siblings? Tell me mom's favorite, dad's favorite. Tell me what you can expect of the world and what can the world expect from you. I don't think anybody's ever sat in that interview.
That last question can be tricky for on the spot. And it's a job interview.
Right. So the question is, will you be authentic? Are you self-aware? Will you tell the truth? So when you tell me your experiences, when you tell me your birth order, if you're a middle child, if you're an only child, there's things around that I would kind of, you know, work with you on. And see, the thing is, I'm not trying to trip you up. I'll actually share my own experiences as well, which gives you permission. And now we're in this conversation and I'm going to get a real sense of the behavior and who you are. And I'm going to get a sense of, I see this in you. You don't see it. It hasn't been developed. I want to do that.
Except that I'm an only child, so birth order isn't going to work.
Oh, it does. No,
Right.
no, no. Oh, yeah. No, it does, because, there's a lot around attention there. There's a lot of children who may be either comfortable with adults and people older than themselves, or they were told, you are to be seen and not heard, and you need to be blah, blah, blah. So it depends. In a certain way, the birth order is, I'm the
Right.
center of the universe. I'm the only thing that matters. But now let's move from recruiting. So I'm the CEO of a company. I don't like having difficult conversations. I don't like being confronted or confronting others. By not stepping in when it's appropriate, I create a more toxic culture. I create more distress and upset for my team. I'm less trustworthy, right? They're looking to me to lead, and I'm abdicating the role. Or I'm in the C-suite, or I'm not in the C-suite, and I feel like I'm an imposter. So, all of these things are different. And it's not just about recruiting. It's, I have this inner critic in my head, and it keeps telling me I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, and I become a workaholic, and I've got all of these things. So I work with people on all of these areas so that they become more self-aware, more manage themselves, right? Get better outcomes. That's the game. But it happens in a context, and in the world in which we're playing today, no one person can be everything. So it's a real
No.
shift. It's a real shift of roles and responsibilities and values. And I think without some level of some of these skills we're talking about, it's going to be extremely difficult, if even possible, to make these changes.
So every CEO has to have others in the C-suite, in C-suite roles that are trusted advisors, who are then also filtering information up from the wider organization. Is that right?
Not exactly. What if information didn't have to filter up? What if the C-suite was all about strategic intent?
Yeah.
And then what if underneath in these self-directed teams, they were creating, and then people would see the thing. But all this management layer, a CEO has a chief revenue officer.
Yes.
But reporting to the chief revenue officers that is the marketing department and the sales department. The CEO decides to go around the revenue officer, and he keeps going to the sales manager to get the information directly. That creates a big negative problem because there's a hierarchy, and you're supposed to, right? You report here, and here reports here, and this reports to the CEO. No, that's not the world in which we're living. The world in which we're living is the top is turning at a speed of we need to get going. And it will filter these divisions and these teams. You'll be able to reflect and see the results. So stop managing and start leading.
Now, at this point, let me point out to the listener that you have the opportunity to work with Dan Silberberg because you've got a leader council coming up this year, or multiple leader councils, depending on you're putting together different cohorts of CEOs, and then other perhaps senior leaders who aren't necessarily CEOs. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the leader councils that you're starting up, and they can contact you through your website, entelechy.ai, which will be in the show notes.
So we're looking for a council of CEOs because kings like to play with kings. And then I'm looking for a council of C-suite leaders. So if you have a chief marketing officer, chief revenue officer, chief HR officer, CIO, CTO, if you're in that realm, I'd like a council for that. And then I'd like to do a council for founders and business owners and small to mid-sized business C-level people. So there's
and small
three
to mid
ways.
sizes, how many million up from what to what?
It could be starting at around 10 and maybe go up to 50 or 60, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's somewhat fluid. I just want to make sure that you've got enough business experience and enough depth in a business that you have the money and resource to implement, because we will help you not only on your leader journey, but we'll also help you to double your business in 36 months and grow exponentially. That's another thing that comes kind of packaged with it. Now, not every business is going to want to do that. And there'll be some businesses that'll be in markets where that may not be possible, but we can help businesses be more efficient, put more to the bottom line, drive better, more aggressive growth at the top line, and that sort of thing. It's a year-long program. It runs 13 months, actually, and it meets twice a month. And so the first, it's a hybrid sort of environment. It's a cohort of...
So some people will meet in person and others will beam in from wherever they are in the world?
It's a virtual mastermind.
Yeah.
And then we will offer a in-person meeting twice a year.
Right.
So if you want to come to the in-person, great, but you won't lose anything. If you don't, you'll still get the entire program. Mm. And so there's 13 modules. We meet twice a month, 2 hours each time. And the first 2 hours of the month will be me working with you on these different skills that we're talking about. And then you'll have a couple of weeks to see if you actually apply them to yourselves. And then the second meeting of the month, we'll be doing business hot seats. So if your business has particular struggles or issues that aren't getting resolved, then you bring those to the group. And that's the mastermind part. You'll get one-on-one coaching in this thing. So there's a lot to it, but I'll give you the where they can go to see what's involved and everything. And it's a global play. I'm thinking globally. I'm not thinking just for the U.S.
Well, this podcast goes to India and the United Kingdom and Australia and Malaysia and Asia. Yeah.
Yeah.
All
and
over.
We love it. And so, you know, based on time zones, we can put different ones together. So I'm looking, you know, to have three of these for this year. The first one is starting in the U.S., and that one will be starting on May the 10th. And so it's coming up, and you'll be able to see what's available. You can book your time with me. There's a place to go to book the calendar, and we'll see if we're a good fit for each other. But my goal really is to bring out the best in the leaders for the 21st century.
But they won't all be starting in May. You'll have, like, as the year progresses, different councils will be starting, and they'll be doing their 13-month run. Is that right?
Yeah, so the first one we've set is May 10th. But once we fill that one up, you know, let's say in March I fill it all up, then I'll offer a second one in May as well.
Right.
So I want to get people started and engaged as quickly as possible. So like I say, I can do three of these. I can arrange the month to do three of these, you know, with all the responsibility that's required.
Yes, yes, that's right. All of the care and the nurturing. 'Cause just to live in your world, Dan, for a while, for that year would be of so beneficial for people. So I do believe that you're a guide that people can trust.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Nina, for all the support and everything that you do out there, because you also are a force of nature out in the world, and people need to know what you're up to and bring you into their circle as well.
Wonderful spending time with you, Dan, and we'll look forward to the next occasion, and all the best.
Thanks. Have a great day.
If you want to work with a leadership coach I trust, that's Dan Silberberg. Dan Silberberg's expertise as a CEO, combined with holding a master's degree in leadership and coaching and having a storied career as a past CEO,
Dan facilitates top performers to become the next best version of themselves. Just imagine Dan Silberberg is your personal mentor to help you uncover the genius within you. Joining Dan Silberberg's Leader Council starting soon could be the deepest and most exciting professional development of your career and your life. He can show you how to uncover your true genius, your gifts, and how to manifest them into the world. All it takes to get started is a free conversation with Dan Silberberg. Either message Dan Silberberg via LinkedIn, mention my name, or go straight to his website, entelechy.ai. The link is in the show notes. Your journey to becoming a collaborative, high-performance leader begins with Dan's Leader Council. My name is Nina Sunday on the Manage Self, Lead Others podcast. Until next time, bye for now.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.